Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
How restrictive the laws of God are. It sure is great to cast off the chains of God's oppressive commandments, isn't it? Live any way we want, go after any partner we want, any time we want. This is the life, isn't it? Yes, it sure is. Unless, of course, you happen to be the one left behind when your partner follows their heart after someone else. It's wonderful unless you happen to be one of the kids left with the aftermath of another broken home, the result of unrestrained passion in their parent. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Restrictive? Or is it God's greatest gift to us? Oppressive, old-fashioned morality? Or the preservation of the sweetness of childhood? Stay with us as we take another look at the seventh commandment right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. While we are on the subject of lust, as we examine the seventh commandment, there is still much to be said. Things which will help us to overcome the almost irresistible desires that threaten to shipwreck our lives and destroy the lives of those we love. The seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. But it goes way beyond simply avoiding the act of immorality. This is a very far-reaching commandment, and it was put in place for our good. Did you hear that? God gave us this commandment to be faithful for our good. How contrary this is to popular belief. We are the enlightened generation that has thrown off the restricting bonds of morality. In the 60s, we threw away the shackles of obeying God's command not to commit adultery, and each decade since, we have gone further and further into sin until this present day when there is no longer any restraint at all, and in the young people, there's not even the knowledge that there should be restraint. Isn't that amazing? So, aren't we so free now? Now, we can go from partner to partner, one after another, leaving a wake of unwanted children and broken hearts? Our families consist of a cobbled-together mishmash of children, half-children, stepchildren, all living with the boyfriends and girlfriends of whatever biological parent they might be able to find. Why is suicide epidemic among junior high schoolers? Because their lives are a living hell. They have nothing to live for. They go to bed at night, many times wishing that they didn't have to wake up. They have black eyes and black hearts and no hope. And all because of the parents' unrestrained lust, running after anything that moves, anything that will satisfy their lust. Talk about freedom. How great to be out from under the oppression of God, who calls us to live in love with the spouse of our youth. This is really living? No, this is death, and the kids know it. This is the state of our world right now, as we all know. And Jesus cares about each and every one of those products of our unrestrained lust. He knows their names. He feels every pain. He collects every tear. And his anger is on those who cause this unspeakable pain in these young lives. It is time to address these issues. It is time for us to leave off our immorality. It's time to leave off our immoral thoughts, which lead to this immoral behavior. It is time to come to God in brokenness and sorrow and repent for our wandering thoughts and our wandering eyes. The mark of someone who is in Christ is that they become changed people who seek after righteousness, and this is righteousness. It is defined by the Ten Commandments. It is defined by thou shalt not commit adultery. I heard the most accurate and condemning statement recently. Someone said that many people only get saved from the waist up. How sad that is, and how telling of our loose morals within the church. It's time to deal with these things. The immoral will have no part in the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? The immoral can deceive themselves into thinking they're fine in God's eyes, but their sin blinds them, and they are unable to discover their iniquity. Read it in Psalm 36. We're going to continue on with our study of the book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. We're heading into chapter 15 today, where we'll take a look at the devastating consequences of man pulling apart what God has joined together. Families are the atoms of God's society. God's building block for the material universe is the atom. The atom is not the smallest particle, but it is the smallest unit. Everything we see is constructed on the foundation of atoms. As tiny as they are, if they suddenly flew apart, the universe would literally dissolve. When God built his crown of life, mankind, he used the same principle. The smallest unit in the universe of people is the family. Everything else is constructed out of that building block. And as tiny as the individual family is, if it should fly apart, all of society would dissolve. It is the smallest unit, and it was not meant to be split. Just like atoms, they weren't meant to be tampered with. When man goes into the material world and splits what God joined together, immense destruction results. Men try to harness it, but they are trying to harness the power of destruction. And the consequences are grave, even to the annihilation of the planet. In the same way, when men split the family which God has ordained in marriage, tremendous devastation comes forth. Even if on the surface things appear to be not so bad, there are invisible consequences, just like radiation. You can't see it, but it's given off when atoms are split and it causes cancer and death. With families, it's just the same. Splitting families exposes them to harmful radiation, which causes death and deformity. From there, it radiates into all of society. And that is why adultery was punished by death in the Old Testament. The results in the people are so terrible that God wanted to protect his beloved creation. Jesus, of course, went far beyond the Pharisees' approach to the matter of adultery. He knew that to protect the family, it would take much more than outward compliance to laws prohibiting the act of adultery. He knew and taught that all bad actions are the result of first thinking bad thoughts. This is summed up in the words of James in chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lustful thoughts. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So Jesus aimed at the heart of sin, which originates in the thoughts of men and women. Consider his expansion on this commandment in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. It is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown in hell." These are words we don't hear very often today, are they? These are things we don't think about when we're watching our romantic comedies where they're in bed with each other the same night that they meet. This is not what's going through our mind when we are observing a world that is running after every lustful thing, where illicit attraction seems to be so desirable. We don't see these kind of words come up very often, do we? But it is the word of God. It's Jesus' own words. As with the sin of murder, to God, what you think is the same as what you do. He said that not only were we not to be unfaithful, we were not to have unfaithful thoughts. And why is that so important? Well, there's two reasons. First, the seeds of adultery are planted when husbands and wives look at someone else as though they were attractive. The human mind acts just like a garden. Whatever seed is put into it grows into a plant. It's the law of nature, and the scriptures address this by saying, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap." That's Galatians 6:7. What enters into the mind, unless it is vigorously resisted, will come to pass. A person who allows adulterous thoughts to be in his mind will end up in adultery. The second reason, the bond of the family is love. God is love, and He is the glue. Just like atoms are held together by God with no other explanation, so is the family. His love makes the unit of the family hold together. When a spouse looks at another person in such a way as to desire him or her, it is an unspeakable crime against love. It is a crime against God's love and against your spouse. If a woman who loves her husband with her whole heart finds that he is desiring to be with someone else, that wife's heart will be devastated. And it doesn't matter one bit that he didn't actually cheat on her. The fact that he desired to is just as bad to her. The husband who fully trusts in the love of his bride will be destroyed if he learns that she has been thinking lustful thoughts about someone else. So you see, it's not just the act of adultery that is so devastating. It is the thoughts of our heart which hurt the other person so deeply. It's the same thing. It is the same thing to the other partner. And on this subject, have you ever noticed that magazines, movies, and books all focus on true love being in the spontaneous passion that arises from a chance encounter with a stranger or a coworker? Did you ever notice how consistent this is? Old relationships are dumped in pursuit of this new, true romance. Have you ever wondered when you watch that comedy or that romance, have you ever wondered what it feels like to be on the other side of that? To be the partner who is thrown out after years of devotion because of a passing kiss? That stray look, that lustful glance, that chance encounter is your death. That seed will come back to you, and the life you destroy by leaving your thoughts unbridled will end up being yours. It will pursue you and overtake you like the angel of death. Run away and be afraid. Adulterous thoughts are the doorway to hell. Avoid every movie, every magazine. Avoid anything that will make it seem to be attractive. It will be your life that you save, as well as your spouse and your children. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Interestingly, the definition of adulterate is to make lower in quality by adding inferior or improper materials. While we consider making our lives more exciting by adding a new romantic element, we are in fact lowering or adulterating the quality of our life. Because of the tremendous pressure put on families today by our lust-driven society, these sins, adultery and fornication, will be your greatest temptation and your greatest possibility of falling away from Jesus. There is no married man or woman who does not face these temptations continually, and each must be determined to fight them off as though their very lives depended on it. It does. And here is something else to consider. We know that the devil is constantly trying to stir up lust in order to separate us from God and then steal our souls. For as much as we ourselves cause someone to stumble because of our behavior or our dress, we are joining in the devil's work of luring a soul onto the rocks. Whenever we dress or act in a manner to cause someone to stumble, we unwittingly become a tool of the devil. That's not a very pleasant thought, is it? And don't doubt that you can be an instrument of evil. Jesus called his best friend the devil for tempting him to go against God's will. That was Peter. And so we are commanded by Scripture to act in a manner that is becoming to a child of God and appropriate to those around us. Now, this gives us plenty to think about and to work on this week, and that's exactly what we are required to do. We must do something with this. We can't just listen on Sunday morning and say, oh, that's a good message. No, we have to take it and put it into practice because it is a message that will save our lives. It will save our families. It'll save our loved ones. It's something we have to act on. We need to begin to take our thoughts under control. We need to begin to repent every time we have a lustful thought. As I mentioned last week, whenever we view a lustful image that stimulates us in the wrong way, we need to run to God and repent. And so I want you to put that into practice this week. Every time you see something that stimulates lust in you, run to God and say, Lord, please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And see what the Spirit of God does in your heart and does in your life as a result of this discipline. May the Lord bless you as you begin to pursue personal revival. We look forward to joining with you next week. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
Of God has come. He shall dwell among us, and we shall be his people. God himself, he shall be with us. glorious.